Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy and Ministries. I want to welcome you to our program as we are looking at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus at the rapture of the church. And it is great to have all of you on today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the program. And, of course, we are also live streaming on Facebook. And so let's go right now. We're going to go 3, 2, 1. And so we are right now live. And so I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. As we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of Jesus at the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church. And so we are live right now on Blog Talk Radio, the audio portion. And, of course, we are also live via the Facebook live streaming. And so we're grateful for all of you that are tuning in through Facebook live streaming, those of you that are listening through Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course, we also are recording the video segment of this radio show so that we can also upload it to YouTube so that you'll be able to watch it on YouTube, watch it live here on Facebook live stream, and, of course, listen either live on Blog Talk Radio or you can listen to the archive later on Blog Talk Radio. So, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to our 45-minute program. And what I want to talk about today is the evil of UNESCO, the evil of UNESCO. And it's just absolutely repugnant to me, folks, that you have an organization like UNESCO that claims that they exist to, you know, preserve historical sites to the people indigenous to that land, but yet they're not doing that with the holy sites in Israel, the holy sites in Jerusalem that are holy to Jews and to Christians as well. And I'm going to show you today on this program that UNESCO is absolutely evil, is 100% wrong. Not only does the Bible tell us that Jerusalem does belong to the Jewish people, Jerusalem is holy to the Jewish people, but archaeology, ladies and gentlemen, also shows that the Jews were in the land way before the Muslims came on the scene in the 7th century A.D. Now, folks, we're talking some 700 years after the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. Let me just read something to you here out of Daniel chapter number 6. So if you have a Bible, if you want to go there with me to Daniel chapter number 6. And here in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse number 10, you'll notice here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10, now Daniel is in Babylon, and he is there as a captive in the Babylonian captivity. He was taken there at around 601 B.C., along with his three Jewish friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or you better know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, that was not their real names. You know, Nebuchadnezzar stripped them of their godly Hebrew names and replaced it with pagan Gentile Babylonian names. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are taken from Jerusalem 900 miles away to Ur the Chaldees or to Babylon. Now, while Daniel is there in Babylon, of course, the enemies of Daniel, the enemies of the Jewish people, wanted to make prayer illegal for at least 30 days. Daniel knew all about this. So even though Daniel knew that the decree was signed and was stamped with a signet ring by Darius I, the Mede, yet that did not stop Daniel as a Jew. The Bible tells us that Daniel opened his window and he was praying, facing toward a certain direction. Now notice what Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 10 says. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward where? Jerusalem. Daniel opened his window, and he prayed right in the direction, ladies and gentlemen, of Jerusalem. Nowhere else but in the direction of Jerusalem. And yet the Bible says he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Now we know Jews pray 3 times a day, the morning prayer, the afternoon prayer, and the evening prayer. The morning prayer they call in Hebrew Shacharit. The afternoon prayer they call in Hebrew Mincha. And the evening prayer they call, the evening prayer is Arvit or Ma'arav. So that is the morning, the afternoon, and the evening prayer. Jews pray 3 times a day. The Muslims do the same thing. They pray 3 times a day. But when a Muslim prays, a Muslim never prays facing Jerusalem. The Muslim always prays toward the east. They always pray toward Mecca because that is where Muhammad is buried. And by the way, folks, the most holiest site in Islam is not Jerusalem. The most holiest site in Islam is Mecca, followed by number 2, Medina, and then number 3 would be Jerusalem. However, to the Jew, Jerusalem is numero uno, folks. Jerusalem is the most holiest site in Judaism. And no matter where a Jew is in the world, he can be in America or anywhere else, whenever that Jew prayed, face it, Jerusalem. We see Daniel doing this, ladies and gentlemen, some 2,700 years ago, 900 miles away from Jerusalem in Babylon. Yet the Bible says he opened his windows and he prayed in the direction in Jerusalem. My friend Dr. Todd Baker and I are in Israel, and we are at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, which, by the way, UNESCO said is not Jewish, and that's right from the pits of hell. But when we go to the Western Wall, whenever we pray at the Western Wall, or in Hebrew, they call it the Kotel, or Christians call it the Wailing Wall. And whenever we go to the Wailing Wall and we pray at the Wailing Wall, you notice that within the cracks of that 2,000-year-old Herodian wall are papers that are stuck in there with prayer requests from people all over the world who visit the Western Wall. But whenever a Jew is finished praying at the Western Wall, he just doesn't turn around and walk away. Whenever a Jew is finished praying at the Western Wall, he or she kisses the wall. And then they back up, still staring at the wall. They back up, staring at the wall. And then when they're far enough, they'll turn around, and then they'll walk away. Now, folks, that is how holy Jerusalem is to the Jewish people. We know that Mount Moriah, which UNESCO also said was not Jewish, of course, Mount Moriah is where Abraham takes Isaac for sacrifice. That's the mountains of Moriah, which is today, ladies and gentlemen, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. But we also see in 2 Samuel 24, Melech David, King David, purchases a threshing floor from Aruna, the Jebusite, that would pave the way for his son Solomon to build the first Jewish temple. 2 Chronicles 3:1 says that Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, UNESCO, which, by the way, is the acronym for the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, as usual, has denied that the holy city of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, they say in Hebrew, Jerusalem, the city of gold, they have denied, and UNESCO is the United Nations body, one of many bodies, or many organizations in the United Nations, which I call United Nothing, but they said that Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, and the Western Wall are not Jewish, but they are Islamic. I mean, folks, can you imagine that? They're not Jewish, but they are Islamic. I would like to call the UNESCO, I would like to call them the United Nothing Egotistical, Satirical, Comical Organization. Because, folks, that is exactly what they are. You know why? Because, folks, they love to make things up. Now, no surprise that this resolution was formulated by the Palestinians, no surprise there, and adopted by UNESCO to deny biblical holy sites, not only connected, ladies and gentlemen, to the Jewish people, indigenous to the land, before these Arabs came on the scene, but not only are these sites holy to the Jews, but also they are holy to Christians. So not only is UNESCO denying Jewish sites, they're also denying the Christian roots as well to these holy sites. Now, we know that in 1999, Muslim authorities, this is absolutely atrocious, ladies and gentlemen, the Muslim authorities on the Temple Mount bulldozed the Temple Mount, and they dumped 400 truckloads of earth. I mean, truckloads of dirt without any archaeological supervision from the Israeli Antiquities Authorities whatsoever. And they dumped 400 truckloads of dirt into the Kidron Valley that they use as a garbage heap. And the Israeli Antiquities Authorities, along with the Israel Sifton Project, folks, I'm talking thousands of ancient Jewish artifacts, now dating back to the first and the second Jewish temple. Israeli archaeologists, you know, even found, folks, 18th century Islamic artifacts in the trash heap that speak of the Muslims' own brief history. But do they care? Absolutely not. They still dump all of these artifacts in the Kidron Valley, and they're being found by the Israel Sifton Project. Now, folks, we know that the existence of the Jewish Eon dispute, even pagan historians with no influence, no Jewish influence at all, no bias whatsoever, they even testified of these Jewish temples. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Pagan historians like Berosius in the 3rd century B.C. described Solomon's temple. Menander of Ephesus in the 2nd century B.C. spoke about the Jewish temple. Tectaeus of Abdera in 300 B.C. spoke about the Jewish temple. Matthias of Patara, 200 B.C., spoke about the temple. Theodorus of Sicily, in the 1st century B.C., spoke of Solomon's temple. Strabo, in the 1st century B.C., spoke of the Jewish temple. And Tacitus, the 1st century B.C., and folks, many others, just to name a few, also describe a Jewish temple. The Temple Mount Sifton Project, as I said, folks, they have found thousands of ancient Jewish artifacts that testify to a Jewish presence in the land of Israel way before the Muslims came on the scene, century A.D. Now, folks, we're talking some 700 years after the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Let me even give you some more examples that Jerusalem has always been Jewish from the time of Abraham to the time of Jesus Christ, and even in the present right now. Because let me tell you something. When Jesus walked the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and when he was up on that Temple Mount, he did not see the Islamic shrine of the Dome of the Rock that's been occupying the site for over 1,313 years right now. The Islamic shrine of the Dome of the Rock, built in the 7th century A.D., on the historical site of the first and second Jewish temple. And it's been there for some 1,313 years. It sits on the site where Solomon's temple stood for 400 years before the Babylonians destroyed it in 586 B.C. And it sits on the site where Herod's temple stood for 600 years before it was destroyed by the Romans in 70 A.D. And by the way, folks, right on the very heels of this atrocious decision by UNESCO to label all the holy sites in Jerusalem as Islamic, they just found the wall. Archaeologists just found the wall. I'll talk about this in a few moments. But archaeologists just found the wall that Josephus talked about, the very wall that the Romans breached to get into the city and destroy the city of Jerusalem in the year 70 AD and wipe out the Jewish temple. But let me just give you a few examples that Jerusalem has always been Jewish. Not only do we have the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, to back this up, archaeology substantiates all of this. And UNESCO, they're revisionists. They, and like the Palestinians and like the Arab world, they're revisionists. They always like to rewrite history to fit their own agenda. Let me tell you how bad this is, folks. Even the chief executive of UNESCO said, I am totally opposed to all of this. Those are Jewish sites that we're talking about. And you know something? She now has death threats against her. Death threats, ladies and gentlemen, because she spoke out against this horrendous UNESCO decision to label all the holy sites in Jerusalem as being Islamic rather than Jewish. Let me give you some examples. In 1871, they found an inscription called the Temple Warning Inscription. In 1871, a French archaeologist by the name of Clermont Ganot found a Greek inscription warning Gentiles not to enter further into the temple compound. Now, folks, it's these kind of inscriptions that were also witnessed in by the first century. The Jewish historian Josephus Flavius also talked about inscriptions that were around the temple warning Gentiles not to go into the temple. You can find this in, get a copy of The Jewish Wars by Josephus Flavius. You can find them in any Christian bookstore. They comprise of two books, the Antiquities of the Jews and The Jewish Wars. Well, Josephus even talked about this in The Jewish Wars. Book 5, verse 2, book 6, chapter 2, and verse number 4, and the Antiquities of the Jews. He talks about all of this. And yet, in 1871, they found an inscription warning Gentiles not to walk into the temple complex. How clear does it have to get, folks? They even found the Beit HaTikiyah inscription, where on the northeastern corner of the Temple Mount, the high priest would blow the shofar to herald in the Sabbath. So archaeologist Professor Benjamin Mazar in 1972 found this Hebrew inscription which had fallen from that area of the corner of the Temple Mount. By the way, it was more the southwestern corner of the Temple Mount. And it was found in the rubble when the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 A.D. It was found in the rubble being excavated by archaeologists excavating nearby. The stone carries the inscription in Hebrew. I love it. Leviet Hatakia Lahakri, which means to the place of trumpeting, to the house of the blowing of the trumpets, to announce the heralding of the Shabbat, the heralding of the Sabbath. Now, of course, you know, you can even find this in the Babylonian Talmud, Shabbat, chapter 35 and verse number 2, and the Tosefta Sukkha in the Babylonian Talmud. And Josephus talks about this, again, folks, in his book, The Jewish Wars, book 4, chapter 10, and verse number 12. Josephus is a 2,000-year-old Jewish historian that substantiates all of these archaeological finds, folks, that show that Jerusalem and all of its holy sites were Jewish. UNESCO needs an archaeological schooling, ladies and gentlemen. They even found a seal with Hebrew letters on it. In 2011, archaeologist Eli Shukron found a tiny, like a fired clay object, stamped with an inscription consisting of Hebrew letters. The Dalet, Nun, Aleph, Lamed, Yod, and Hey. It was in, out of all places, a drainage tunnel at the foot of the southern end of the western wall, or what they call in Hebrew the Kotel. And Talmudic scholar Professor Shlomo Nai convincingly showed that this is a unique object that was used as a token or a vulture for Jews to get into the temple. I mean, that's just, it's unbelievable. Wonder what else they found, folks? Excuse me, they found the high priest golden belt, a pomegranate golden belt that was at the very foot of the garment of the high priest. Because when he was in the most holy place during Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, with the blood of the sacrifice to put on the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, the people on the outside wanted to make sure he was still alive by walking around and making sure those bells were ringing. In the same excavation at a drainage tunnel, again by Eli Shukron, what a lucky guy, a golden pomegranate bell was found dating, you ready for this, to the Second Temple period. And folks, there is no precedent for this artifact from any excavation in Israel whatsoever. The only knowledge of such an object is from the biblical description of the bells sewn on the garment of the high priest mentioned in Exodus chapter 28, verses 33 through 34. And folks, throughout all of Jerusalem, you find mikvahs, or mikvahot, which is more of a numerous finds of mikvah. And it was a Jewish ritual cleansing that Jews would walk down, and they would go into a body of water, and they would immerse themselves seven times, and then they would walk up the clean step to go into the temple. We were just in one of those ancient mikvahs in Jerusalem. It was a huge mikvah. You walk down one step on the right, which is, and then on the left is the are the clean steps that you walk up clean after you immerse yourself seven times. You have mikvahs, mikvahs all over Jerusalem. They even uncovered a first temple period refuse pit at the eastern slope of the Temple Mount in 2009. They found the inner seal impression that talks about the seal belonging to Emiyahu, almost similar to the name Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. They've also found artifacts from the time of King Solomon from the 10th to the 9th century B.C. And folks, they even found the half shekel silver coin that was used to pay the high priest in order for you as a Jew to take your sacrifice, your offering, into the temple recently in Jerusalem. Archaeologists found the wall that the Romans breached the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago in their siege of Jerusalem and destroying the second Jewish temple in 70 AD as prophesied by Yeshua the Rabbi, Jesus the Messiah, in Matthew 24. The Jewish historian Josephus Flavius spoke about this same wall, and this was confirmed, ladies and gentlemen, by biblical archaeology. Archaeologists found the wall. This is what, I have a copy of what Josephus said about that same wall. This is what he said, and I quote, the Jewish historian Josephus Flavius, 2,000 years ago, talking about this same wall. This is what he said, quote, the beginning of the third wall was the Tower of Hippicus. Whence it reached as far as the north quarter of the city. Tower of Tephaphenes. It was Agrippa who encompassed the parts added to this old city with this wall, which had been naked before. End quote. Wow. Archaeologists confirm what Josephus is talking about in his book, The Jewish Wars. Now, if UNESCO would only bother to look at all of this evidence, folks, if they would only bother to look at all the archaeological evidence, they wouldn't be being stupid as they are right now. I know that's strong language that I'm using, but there is no other word, folks. They're revisionist. They are actually stupid. And saying that all of these Jewish sites, the Temple Mount, the Kotel, the Western Wall, all the areas of Jerusalem are all Islamic. They even say Jerusalem is also Islamic. But yeah, the Muslims can't show you anything after the, before the 7th century A.D., anything Muslim before the time of Jesus. They can't do it. It's only 700 years after the ministry of Jesus that they can find you any Islamic artifacts. Like, they just found one in all that rubble, 400 truckloads of earth being tossed into the Kidron Valley. They found one Islamic coin and some type of Islamic necklace dated back to the 18th century A.D., folks. Come on now. I mean, you know, these people are Johnny-come-lately. So let me tell you something. Jerusalem is mentioned 764 times in the Bible, 623 times in the Old Testament, 141 times in the New Testament. But I'll tell you this, Jerusalem is not mentioned once in the Quran. It is not mentioned once at all. 764 times Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible. But yet they say Jerusalem belongs to us, the Muslims. Jerusalem belongs to us. The Temple Mount belongs to us. The Western Wall, the Kotel, belongs to us. All the Christians, all the Jewish sites, they all belong to us. And Jesus was nothing more than an Arab, Islamic, Palestinian revolutionary. Talk about making things up as you go. Came up with this, and UNESCO jumped on and said, we're with you. I mean, listen, folks, even the Quran, the Islamic so-called holy book, the Quran even says there were two Jewish temples. I'll even quote you one out of the Quran. Surah chapter 17 and verse number 7 says this. O Jews, we permitted your enemies to disfigure your faces, to enter your temple, Solomon's temple. Before, there was another temple before that, Solomon's temple. And now they're talking about Herod's temple. To enter your temple, as your enemies did before, Solomon's temple, 586 B.C., destroyed by the Babylonians. And to visit with destruction all that fell into their power. Titus and the 10th Roman Legion in 70 A.D. destroyed the temple. I took my tour group into the Davidson Archaeological Center near the Western Wall in Jerusalem. As you walk into the Davidson Archaeological Center, you will notice all of this antiquity. Unbelievable. But I noticed it was a brick. Looks like a normal brick that we use in building today. But it was a brick, and right on it in Latin said the 10th Roman Legion. And folks, it was the 10th Roman Legion that destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Dr. Todd Baker and I were in Rome this past May. And we went to a place in Rome called the Arch of Titus. And right on there, I want you to Google it when you're done after this live streaming. Google the Arch of Titus. And right at the Arch of Titus, you would see Roman soldiers carrying away the temple booty from Jerusalem back to Rome. Clearly, you can see the seven-branch Jewish menorah mentioned in the Bible in Exodus 25, verses 31 and 32. The silver trumpets mentioned in Numbers chapter number 10 and verse number 1. All of the artifacts were taken from Jerusalem back to Rome. And the Arch of Titus proves exactly that, ladies and gentlemen. You want to know something? God says he has chosen Jerusalem that his name might be there forever. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse number 6. I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there forever. Ha'olam, for eternity. My name will be there forever. Jesus preached and he walked in the temple, on the Temple Mount 2,000 years ago. And like I said, people, when he was up on the Temple Mount 2,000 years ago, he didn't see a Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount. He didn't even see a church on the Temple Mount. There was a Jewish in that temple. As a matter of fact, Jesus said of Jerusalem in Matthew 5:35, Ha'ir Ur Shahakadol, Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Because one day the Melech HaMelechim, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will reign from that very city. Jerusalem belongs, ladies and gentlemen, to the Jews. Always have, always will be. God has never abrogated his promises to the Jewish people. God has, I don't care what Reformed theologians say, I don't care what anybody says, God will never abrogate his promises. He will never break his promises to the Jews, because if he can break his promises to the Jews, he can also break his promises to you. If he can break his promises with Israel, you and I don't even have a leg to stand on either. God will keep his promises to Israel, just as he will keep his promises to the church. The church has not replaced Israel. Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 make that abundantly crystal clear. God is not breaking his promises to the Jews. But we got those in the church today that say he has, and even UNESCO, jumping on the same bandwagon with some in the church, saying that these things don't belong to the Jews. They belong to somebody else. It's atrocious, ladies and gentlemen. But you want to know something? Bible prophecy tells us that one day the enemies of the Jews will seek to take Jerusalem and destroy, annihilate the Jewish people from the land. And we see the early stages of that unfolded with Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, a Russian-led Arab coalition of nations that will one day come up against the Jewish people. We see that in Psalm 83, an Arab confederacy that will one day come up against the Jewish people. We see in Daniel 11, 40 through 45, that one day the Arab world will come against the Jewish people. But God says, I have other plans. God says, I will defend and I will protect my people, my chosen people, the apple of mine eye. God has done it in the past. He's done it in the present. And make no mistake about it, folks, he will once again do it in the future. Zechariah 12:3, God says, I will one day make Jerusalem a cup of trembling, a cup of intoxication. Those who are so intoxicated with Jerusalem, thinking they own my city, God says, I will destroy them because they're intoxicated. Yet God says, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling, a cup of intoxication. And in Zechariah 12:3, God says, I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. God says, I'll make Jerusalem such a dead, heavy weight that all the enemies of the Jews will try to lift her up. They'll get a hernia trying to do so. God says, Jerusalem is going nowhere. It will remain with my chosen people. My name is there. That it will be there for Olam. It will be there forever. And yet, Zechariah 4:2, God says, I will gather all nations to Jerusalem for battle. The battle is for Jerusalem. That was a Time magazine article 4 years ago. The battle, Jerusalem. Remember the Time magazine had a picture of the Star of David? The outline of the Star of David was the outline of a Jewish rabbi with a picture of Jerusalem in the background. The battle for Jerusalem. And that's what it's going to be, folks, in the not-too-distant future. The battle for the city of Jerusalem. Yet the Bible says that when it's all said and done, the smoke clears and the dust settles, Jesus will reign from the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7. A literal, physical, bodily reign of Jesus from that very city. And Jerusalem will be the capital of planet Earth during that time. In the future, during the reign, of Jesus. That's Ezekiel 5:5. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. I have put Jerusalem in the center of the earth, and I have surrounded her with all the nations. What am I telling you, folks? This atrocious UNESCO decision to label all of the historic Jewish sites as Islamic, I believe is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And we know, folks, that the next prophetic event on God's calendar will be the rapture of the church of the living God. The Lord Jesus will shout, the archangel will shout, the shofar, the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, brought up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is it going to get any better? No, folks, it's only going to get worse. But if you're born again and you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it gets brighter for you and I. Know that one day soon, Jesus will descend from heaven to call his bride the church out of the world. So we now know, folks, the stage is set, the actors are in place, and the curtain is about to go up on the end time drama. The next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church of the living God. That could be today. We don't know the day and we don't know the hour. And folks, all I can say to that in closing, folks, is Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. Man, what a day, glorious day that is going to be. Today, I'm pretty passionate about this stuff. Yeah, I am. When it comes to anti-Semitism, anti-Israel, anti-Jew, even in the church, yes, I'm passionate about it, and I will get in your face about it. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, folks, but I will get in your face about it. I have no tolerance for that stuff whatsoever. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25. If you have done it unto one of these of the least, my brethren, he's talking about the Jews, not Christians, you've done it unto me. When you mistreat the Jews, it's like you mistreated me, my flesh and blood, my chosen people. God still has a plan for Israel, and he has not abrogated that plan in any way, shape, or form. Well, folks, we've got a few minutes left right here. Don't forget to visit my website today in BibleProphecy.org. While you're there, sign up for our newsletters. As a matter of fact, after I get off the live streaming, they will go right out. Today in BibleProphecy.org. And just browse around the website. It's still under construction. We have a lot of pictures, videos, audio, things of that sort that I know that will be a blessing to you. Of course, right now we're in the midst of our missions conference at my home church, the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple, in Johnson, Rhode Island. Dr. Jeff Ansbaugh is my pastor, and we have missionaries that are there right now. We had it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They have tonight off, but we will conclude that missions conference on Sunday. That's the reason why I chose not to speak anywhere on Sunday, because I wanted to be there for this missions conference, and we've always raised over $175,000. We always hit that goal and then some. This year, we're looking to do the same, looking to raise $175,000 to take on new missionaries to send them out there to where they're going, whether it's going to be in Fiji, the Turks, Caicos Island. We got others that are going to be going to Europe. They're presenting their, you know, their videos and their presentations to us, and our church always raises that goal and even more, folks. This year, we set a goal of $175,000. I believe we're going to go way past that goal because we do it all the time. So if you live anywhere in Lincoln, Rhode Island, Johnson, Rhode Island, or any of the surrounding areas, come and visit us tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m., the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple in Johnson, Rhode Island. If you live, you know, out of state, you can watch the services live stream. www.gribbit.gribbit, Gribbit, Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple, gribbit.sunday. However, October 30th, I will be preaching at Tri-State Baptist Church, pastored by my good friend, Pastor Ron Barad. They are in a brand new, beautiful, beautiful building. I preached there before. I will be preaching next Sunday morning there, the Sunday school and the Sunday morning service. So if you live anywhere in that area, come on out, Tri-State Baptist Church in Grosvenor-Dale. I got to say that slowly because I got to say it fast. Grosvenor-Dale, Connecticut. It's right near Thompson, Connecticut, but we will be there. Well, folks, that's all the time that we have today. Hope you have a blessed weekend. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. And remember, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
And so we are right now live. And so I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. As we look at current world events in light of